Let's go ahead and get started. I texted Larry. I don't know where he's at, but we can't really wait all day. So,
he's there.
Since you have kind of the agenda and that kind of stuff, I prefer if you want to just lead us through the meeting on what each step is. We can have whatever discussions, but let's go ahead and get started. Obviously we don't necessarily need to do roll call. Can we get identification other than John, who's on the phone? John and Vance, I've heard.
John is with me at the ranch house.
Oh, okay.
And then Jeff and Tina Collins are also here. And Larry is supposed to be coming.
Larry's down at the spring when I come by working on the spring box.
Anybody else on the phone that we can't see? Okay, well, let's go ahead and proceed. Kathy, do you want to move forward with the approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting, which was in August?
You bet. I read through them. I didn't see any changes. Did anybody else read through them and see that there was to be any changes? Mariah, did you hear anything different?
Nope.
So I think we should move to accept those minutes.
Okay, I'll second that. Any opposed to accepting the minutes as they were presented? I read through them. I didn't see any changes. And anybody opposed to accepting the minutes, let us know. Looks like that passed. Let's go on to the next item on the agenda.
That'd be Joe's treasurer report.
Okay. Well, what I've got is 97.8% of the dues have been collected. The last time I checked, we had 92,150 in the savings, plus the other two savings. I didn't write those down. I've gone over a few of the things. Looking really good on fuel expense. We had a budget of $11,500. We've only spent $3,300, so we're looking really good there. The bottom line still shows we got $62,900 left to spend for the rest of the year. Overall, we're in pretty good shape. I don't have anything other than that.
Great. Remind me, Kirk, when we get to your discussion of ranch manager stuff, let's talk about where we're at budget-wise on spending on the current water projects that we're on, just so that we can recap those. But I think that we're doing pretty well budget-wise because we held off on things the first of the year. That doesn't mean necessarily that we have to go and try to spend everything by the end of the year, let's be wise with what we have, and we're going to have some projects that we need to finish by the end of the year. So with that said, I think the next thing we've got is Mariah's office report.
Oh, hey, before you go any further, my computer says that Don Ray is on and Cindy Olson. I don't see John Harris on there, though.
John's in with Kirk.
Okay.
Mariah, you're on mute, by the way.
But yeah, go ahead. My kids would love it if they could give me a mute all the time. Okay, so for the office report, I don't have too much more to share other than what Joe has shared. I did want to take just a minute and highlight in our incomes for this year regarding cabin reservations. Cabin reservations, we had hoped to receive $14,000 in income, and to date we are at $17,400. So that's really good news that we've surpassed what we hoped for. But before we get excited that we might end in the black, we have not received our final propane order for the year. So while we may not have much left for cabin expenditures, I anticipate that once we have that propane order, that will most likely put us back into the red a little bit. For this year. So we'll go over that information in just a minute. when we pull up the other report that kind of leads into Kurt's report. Otherwise, we've had a lot of changeovers with the membership, a lot of lots sold and new members coming in and some members leaving us. I've been sending out welcome packets to all of the new members, and I have been sending out goodbye letters, for lack of a better term, to those who are leaving, thanking them for their membership and wishing them the best.
Mariah, can I ask you how you're getting that information? Are we supposed to be... I know there's been some that I have not sent everything. Are you getting that from the title company?
Yeah, well, no, I don't get it from the title company. I get it from the King County Property Records. When okay. I have some sales, people like Mike Duvall, he sent me all of their contact information, so I can do it that way. Otherwise, I just check property records based on the title company's request for information on the lot, and I just check that about every 2 weeks, and once it's recorded, then I have an address. And so then I send out a request for a phone number and an email so that I have that information on file, too.
Great. Okay, super.
Yeah. Okay, so otherwise, unless there's any questions about office occurrences or membership changes or water or budgets or anything like that, I don't have anything else to report today.
I got one thing. I talked to Garcane and told him I wanted my tank topped off when they do the rest of the ranch, and they said they were going to do it before the end of October.
Oh, okay, great.
Any questions for Mariah? Perfect. All right, let's go ahead and turn some time over to Kurt to give us an update on everything that's going on and what's happened since our last board meeting.
Since our last board meeting, phase one of the water project for the troughs out in the well field is completed. There's a fence now around the generator and the well, that 100-foot protection area, which is actually bigger than that. I will go down to Tractor Supply. They have 12-foot gates for $89. I'm going to grab two, one for the entrance to the area and then one for the generator. We got 2,000 feet of line buried in phase two, and by, I imagine, about Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll have the second two tires will be completed, and then we'll just be looking for the water source. I'll be reaching out to you and the water committee to find out what we need to do to get that rolling. I reached out to BLM. It takes a while for BLM because they move slow, they're the government. But Norris Brown got a 20 or 15,000 gallon tank at his allotment on a spring, and BLM did all the work. And I told them that I would like to see us get a tank on Deer Springs Point and or Deer Springs here up on the ridge so we can pipe water out to the Deer Springs Point. And with the current water projects and that project being totally separate, that'll eliminate the need to haul water for cattle. And then we've got Ned. Is the fella up here with a small dozer, but more importantly, he spent 10 hours in the half moon well. He got down about 2 feet, and it started getting a little soggy in the middle. Tuesday, he's going to take his, he has a rock trencher, a chain trencher, which is specifically for trenching rocky areas. And we're going to trench from the spring and the upper cabins to the upper cabins, and we're going to get that pipe buried to 40 inches.
Yay.
And Brad Hunt has enough 1.5-inch line left over. We may have to buy another length of that 1.5-inch line or go down to 1 inch, but we're going to have that installed Tuesday. That's our Tuesday project. So, and then I'm going to get with Brenton in the morning tomorrow, and he and I are going to talk about, because he's the one I want to get with the connections and make sure
it just seems to me that if we take a 1.5-inch line instead of a 3-inch line, we're not going to be burdening the pump with so much back pressure of 120 pounds that a 3-inch line has, and a 1.5-inch line to get the water to the tank quicker. And being at 40 inches, we won't have to be patching it anymore.
Anything else?
Probably. I got a quarter of a mile to go on a fence down the canyon that'll stop the influx of Norris Brown's cattle down. I don't know if I've ever said anything, but he did come late August, and he and I spent a day, and he brought two guys up, and we got over half a mile of fence fixed that hadn't been touched in 40 years. And the area that's left, the top wire of the old fence will be the bottom wire because the sand has come down and just kind of buried that fence to about 18 inches. So we'll be, I got posts and wire out there to fix all that. And then I'm going to go up on our side of that ravine and check the fence. I know cows are getting through, our cows are getting through there. So we'll be getting that fixed up. And so that, this end of the ranch should be secure.
How are we coming as far as what? Are you ready for? Let me know when you're ready for questions. I don't want to interrupt you.
Ask me questions because there's a lot going on. We got.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'll ask my questions and then get out of your way.
Okay.
Have we talked to Larry? Are we doing anything as far as locking the forest gate during the deer hunt up there?
That I don't know. You think, John?
I don't have anything. I asked Larry here a week or so ago about the when the hunt starts, and he thought it was starting in about a week, but it's not. I think it's starting the third week of October. So we haven't had anything there. I did run across, and I do have a question here. I know this is cutting into his time, but I guess we're discussing it. We had some hunters up here during the black powder thing. I saw them in their full camouflage as I was coming down. They were sitting on the bed of the pickup. I thought, well, down about just about below the gate there, below the the gate below the ponds, and that area there actually is BLM land, and our road goes through that. And I thought I'd going back, I would talk to them, and when I got back, they were out hunting someplace. So they were on the ranch. I don't know what our legal thing is on that. They would have been on BLM land, but they were on our property and on our roads there hunting within our ranch boundaries.
Well, I can answer that question for you. I mean, if it's a question, we can't keep them off BLM land. That's unfortunately public land. But we need to identify who's within the ranch boundaries, whether it's BLM or not, just so we can track in case something happens or in case there are problems or damage caused. So when Larry joins us, if he joins us, or if not, we'll ask him after and see if he knows who they were and what's going on and what permission they had or didn't have to be there. So let's remember to ask him about that. Normally, and again, we need to run this by Larry, but normally during the regular rifle hunt that's coming up, I'm not a hunter, so I don't know exactly when. Kathy probably knows better than I do, but bottom line is normally we lock the gate just to keep a lot of through traffic from going through. And then as soon as the hunt's over, we open it and leave it open once, assuming the cattle are gone, so that when the snows come, then we don't have a gate that's stuck closed and can't be opened. So we just need to be aware of those two things. And like I said, if Larry joins us, we can ask. If not, then Kurt, if you wouldn't mind following up with him whenever you see him on those two items, just so we're on top of it. Second question, Kurt, is I've got those window screens at my house. I assume that we need to get those up to the ranch whenever possible. So if anybody...
Yeah, I went to St. George Thursday. I tried to call you, but you were probably busy. I was going to try to pick those up. So anybody, I got to go. I have the radiator for the primary generator right down the street from your office. So okay. I don't know if you can throw that in your car when I go pick that up. I'll pick up the window screen, too.
When are you planning on coming to pick up the radiator?
What's that?
When are you coming to pick up the radiator?
I got to give the guy a call. I'll call him Monday.
I imagine
it'll be done by Monday.
I'll throw the screens in my car and have them here at my office regardless, so you can stop by whether I'm here or not and pick them up.
Okay, and I just was told Scott's coming up next week, so I just may have him come down and pick him up and save me a day.
Okay, either way, just have him come by. I'll have him at my office.
Okay.
And Barry, this is John.
Go ahead.
For your information, I already talked to Larry about that. I asked him about those hunters there. I asked him if he had anybody coming, and he said no, he didn't. So, but... Larry's already aware that there were hunters here. So
okay. Well, we need to make sure that he's aware of what's going on to the extent possible. Kurt, where are we at, or what's the plan for winterizing cabins?
Well, right now the plan is Monday we winterize the upper cabins. I'm leaving cabin 10 to the cattle company. 7 and 8 are booked for the next couple of weeks. Brent piped in today. I don't know. Sometimes I get his emails a day late, but he said, you know, the weather's nice. You know, maybe we should hold off a week on winterizing the cabins. But I want to talk to him in the morning about the trenching plan. We can trench along the existing pipeline, but I can't guarantee that we won't hit it. So I just assume have that drain and ready to put in, and Ned is leaving after this next week, so that's our window of opportunity.
Let's get that line put in as soon as we can, and if there aren't any other reservations for the upper cabins, then let's go ahead and winterize those and get them put to bed for the winter, so that we don't have to worry about it, because anytime the weather can change, or anytime we may have other projects we have to be worried about. So let's do it while we can. What's the last reservations on 7, 8, and Garden Cabin, Mariah?
7 and 8 are booked through the 21st. The Garden Cabin is booked through Thanksgiving.
Are you guys going to have usage of Winter Cabin time?
Well,
I've had a couple of people ask me.
That's what we need to discuss right now, so that we know whether we winterize them or whether we leave them open. What you've had people ask about them?
I've had a couple ask me, yes.
I have two.
Remember that was purchased. Go ahead, Mariah.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have two, and what I told them is we will have 7 and 8. 7 and 8 stay open clear through Thanksgiving, too. So we do have bookings beyond the end of October. We have bookings through Thanksgiving and 7 and 8. But beyond Thanksgiving, what I told members is we have the opportunity. They can use them in the winter, but it's by appointment only. We're not going to show them as available. It's by special request. So if they'd like to use the cabin, they can contact me. There will be a winterization fee to open the cabins, and that they won't show available. Again, it's by special request.
I think with respect to 7, 8 in the Garden Cabin, as long as there's coordination between Kurt, who has to do the work to open and close them, and Mariah taking the reservation, and Kathy, who's over cabins, assuming we don't make a change with that today, as long as there's coordination, I have no problem with leaving the cabins open and available beyond Thanksgiving, but it can't be a burden, and it can't be something that we're pulling off of other things to make it happen. So just coordinate, and if there are guests that want to come, and Mariah, and they contact you, just contact Kurt. If Kurt says it's okay, then I think that's fine. Does anybody feel differently?
Just a clarification on open. I call open available. Is that what you're saying? Like, I wasn't going to leave it as an option on the calendar as saying they're available all this time. What are your thoughts there?
No, when I say open, I mean that we're willing to do what you need to on the calendar so they don't show that, so somebody can't just go in and make a reservation. But if they contact you and they want to make a reservation, as long as it's okay with Kurt as far as winterizing or unwinterizing and re-winterizing, then I have no problem with it, and let's try to accommodate as many members as we can without making it a huge burden, and hopefully we'll see what the winter brings. If it's like last winter, if it gets too wet up there, then obviously you can talk to Kurt, and he says, no, it's too muddy to have people up here, then we just tell him no. So it just needs to be a case-by-case basis, I think.
So on the calendar, Kathy, on the calendar right now, it'll show from Thanksgiving on, all cabins closed.
Okay.
And so special request. Okay.
Well, I would like to bring up, if it's still, you know, decent weather, to winterize it, unless we hear like there's going to be a bad storm to shut it down so people aren't having to pay for that winterize if it does not need to be winterized yet. I just wanted to throw that out.
Well, I don't have a problem with that as long as we're monitoring the weather. We don't need to winterize it until it gets cold enough that we need to winterize it. Once it's winterized, though, then any reservations would have to pay for the unwinterization and then the close down again. Does that make sense?
That's going to be $100 for the full usage of the cabin if they have to winterize and unwinterize, right?
Yes.
Just putting $100 fee on that. Okay.
Okay, does that work for, does anybody object to taking that course of action? All right, let's move on. Let's install that water line on the upper cabins as soon as possible, but I want you to verify with Brent and Vance and those that are people that are a lot smarter than I am that the 1.5-inch line will be sufficient to fill the
Brent's coming down tomorrow morning, and we'll talk about it.
Perfect. Anything else that that anybody has a question for or wants to discuss with Kurt? Okay, let me pull my agenda up and let's see what's next. It's for me and Kurt to discuss the water trough project.
Yeah.
And I think that also needs to include a little bit of discussion as to the cattle issue that's happened, although I think it's been solved. I think that's not an issue anymore, but Kurt can confirm that. So the water project sounds like it's the lower water project in the well field is complete. Is that right, Kurt? Is that what I heard you
say? Yeah, the water project in the well field is complete. The fence around the protection area for the well itself and the generators is complete, minus the gate, which I will pick up. And and just to let you all know, working with Brad is a challenge sometimes. I'm understanding more and more about the water project, and I'm actually, what we show on Google Docs is our expenditure, which is about $2,300 so far. Brad has incurred the $4,000 expense of purchasing all the water lines, parts, accessories. I mean, I don't understand. Some things are coming to us, some things are going through him. He's going to get reimbursed on some stuff. We'll get reimbursed on our stuff. It's a big confusion right now. I brought him in and I showed him a spreadsheet the other day, and I showed him how projects properly be managed financially. And he started pulling out invoices and showing me invoices, which was great. You know, a major breakthrough. And I think he and I will be sitting down. The next phase of the water project is pretty much already paid for. So we'll move forward with that. And then he wants to do a month of weed abatement as soon as it freezes, and I'm putting the brakes on that. We need to do it. And if I need to rearrange, I got work I want to do on the cabins. But if I need to rearrange my schedule for that, we definitely need that done. But I want it done in a financially explicit way so we know what's going on.
Okay, let me jump in on your weed abatement real quick, Kurt. I'm going to make a suggestion, and anybody that disagrees with me, feel free to jump in and let me know. I know Brad's not here to jump in and disagree with me with everything I say, but I'm sure that somebody can fill his shoes. I think that on weed abatement that we really ought to hire somebody out of CANAB, a young man or young woman that can handle the work related to that. I would rather you continue to focus on cabins and ranch stuff. It can't be that hard to drive the tractor with the brush hog on it and or spray equipment. So I would prefer. Go ahead.
Roland Bean can mow the rabbit brush faster than anybody. He's got a 30-foot machine. The problem is the expense of the chemical is $75 an acre. So if we're going to do 100 acres, that's $7,500. And speaking with Norris Church, who does weed abatement for other ranches, the chemical, you mow it when it's frozen, it works best. You spray it within 15 minutes. Then you got to spray it again next year and the next year. It takes 3 years of spraying. And so that for 100 acres is, you know, $22,500 over 3 years for 100 acres, which is just so you have a comparison. That's the well field is about 120 acres right there. So I'm looking if we just hire somebody to mow it, if we can get the chemicals. I haven't talked in detail with Brad what he has worked out on the chemicals or, you know, if we're getting reimbursed. My big question is, how long does it take to get reimbursed from the NRCS? Talking to Norris Brown, he said it takes a long time to get. He said they're really good to work with, but it takes a long time to get your money back. And I think Brad's pushing really hard for a quick payday, and so I'm just... You know, there's still a lot of gray areas in that program, but if we can pull out that little bright spot and know that the chemicals are covered, we're going to have to figure out where that money's going to come from in the short run.
Well, and I'm not, as far as the chemicals, they cost what they cost, and obviously we need to do the best we can. I'm just suggesting that we oversee it, but I don't want you taking, if we can figure out somebody to do it, I don't want you taking your personal time. You don't have to do all these projects yourself.
We can hire somebody to do it, and then Brad can go behind and spray, and I can be working on the cabinets the cabinets for some of the cabins.
That's what I would prefer. That's all I'm saying. So
I'm with you 100%. I'm not trying to do everything myself. I'm just trying to get things lined up so everybody understands what's going on and how it's happening.
Now, have we had the inspector out on the water project yet?
He's going to be staying with us next Friday, and Mariah and I need to figure out a cabin for him. And he'll be out to inspect that, and by then we want to have the second phase done also.
Well, that will tell us a lot as to how fast the reimbursements are going to come once we complete one project and have it ready to go. Now, in the second phase of the project, we'll have pipes in the ground and we'll have the tire tanks, but we won't have a pump for the well and we won't have the solar system. Those things.
We don't even know which well is active. I was hoping to see Larry here at the meeting so I can talk to him about that. But I can hunt him down afterwards.
Okay. Well, do the best you can. I just want to see. We'll see how fast we get reimbursement on that on those projects. That will tell us a little bit better what to expect on weed abatement and some of the other projects we're looking
exactly.
at.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, any Kurt? Other questions for Kurt?
Yeah, Kurt, yeah. This is Vance. Can I? Quick question. Where is the weed abatement going on?
That's a really good question. Right now, I'm using the well field as a model, but I really think the Broad Hollow area and clearing there's a lot of areas where the rabbit brush is encroaching on Meadow Canyon Road, and I think that's where our focus should be put to start out with.
Okay, because he
check with all of you guys and see what your thoughts were.
Well, I'm assuming that he's going to stick to the schedule that he put out with his plan, and I just want to. You know, if you guys are going to change that, this is not the spike around the airfield project, which I have a lot of heartburn with, and I was going to write a big long email on, but I thought I had until 2021 to do it.
Van,
so it's not that. Not that, right?
No, not that.
No. Okay. All right. As long as he's sticking to the schedule, then I can collect my wits about that other one and get in touch with everybody.
I'd like to do the Broad Hollow area. Sid wants acre and a half or so of his area done also, and he also has June grass up there, which is when he told me he was concerned about rattlesnakes and he wanted the rabbit brush cleared out. But he also has June grass up there. June grass is it's a spring grass that grows. And it dries out by June because it needs a lot of water. And it just dries out, and it's a fire hazard in itself. But I was going to talk to him about putting some livestock up there to eat that grass off and eliminate that fire hazard in addition to his weed abatement. But these are things that I'm in the process of trying to get organized, and then I can, if I need to do a report in a week or two to let you know where we're at on it, I'll keep everybody posted.
That would be helpful.
Yep, it would be.
I got one remark.
Mark left.
I got a remark, Barry. I've been, as some of you know, I've been after the Meadow Canyon, the rabbit brush is really tall on it on either side of the road. And, well, we had a discussion on that a few years ago, and anyway, still hasn't been trimmed down, and other areas have been trimmed, and it's not up very high now, but this was not trimmed, and it's very high, and when it dries out, to me, it's a fire hazard, and the fire has been one of the things that I'm responsible for, and the roads as well, and I'm concerned about that, but you can't do that with a very big machine. But I'd like to get it, even if we don't have chemicals, if I could just get it down smaller. Instead of being 3 or 4 feet high.
What do you propose to do?
I had a proposal at one time, and that was when Steve Lloyd was here, but then we had this big battle over the money that I felt the board had given to me, and it was taken by Brad to do the airport out there. And so, anyway, I need somebody. Now, Kurt and I discussed it, and he said, well, he could do it with the Kubota here.
I can do it with our tractor, and it doesn't make sense to try to get those areas with a big brush hog. It's smaller areas, you got ravines.
It won't work.
Yeah, and that's something that can be done in the latter part of the day or something like that, a couple hours. Cool. Leave the tractor parked where you stop and drive out to it, and it's something I can putz away at, and I'm not restricted by snow. I can still cut that stuff in the snow as far as I can get.
Okay. Well, I don't have a problem with moving forward and getting it cut down. We just need to fit it into your schedule as far as when we can get to it.
Yeah. Well, the well field stuff, I had planned on other things. I set aside the whole month of August. As you remember, I brought a proposal on the 8th of August for the water system for the cattle, and that's when Brad announced that he had engineered drawings. And so that just kind of put the kibosh, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing happened with it. Now, you know, I'm in the middle of firewood season and stuff that I want to do for the cabins, and I'm doing the water system. So I'm just explaining that I'm a little bit rescheduling, reorganizing my world right now.
Let me ask a question. I know that Kurt was willing to do it, but I know also I see what's going on here. He's up. He's got a lot going on here. Before, you
know, it's getting done.
Yeah, but it's getting done. But he's working his tail off. I don't want to work it completely off. Before I had Steve Lloyd that was willing to do it, I don't know if I could perhaps maybe talk to North Church. I think he has the capabilities, and I just pull it out of my road budget.
North has a 15-foot. That would be good for that, too. Just Roland's is 30 feet. That's huge.
I think whatever you can do within your budget to get it done, then I would get it done sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
With that being said, I want to bring up, and I'm changing subjects for just one second, but you reminded me of something. In the past, we've kind of taken on the mantra, if you will, of you can spend half your budget without talking to anybody else in the board, and so on and so forth. I'm gonna encourage us to take a different tact, because money keeps getting spent without anybody approving, and we find out about it after, which doesn't work for me. So I propose that if we're going to spend more than $1,000 on anything, on any of our budget, whether it's in our budget or not, that we need to send out an email to all the board members and give them an opportunity, give each of us the opportunity to weigh in on yes or no. Now, we need to do it by email so that can happen quickly, and it doesn't have to be unanimous, but I need to have notice so that I don't find out later that we bought something that I didn't really think we should buy, and the money's already spent, and we're stuck. Does anybody have an objection to that?
No. I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Well, as you know, as of last meeting, I haven't really spent any money of my budget. Now, at that time, we talked about 50%. I had 25,000. I did go ahead and get 10,500 of it spent on roads, and I did a lot of roads. That was less than half of my budget. But here's a problem sometimes, at least I know it is with roads. I can't always get somebody, and then when I get somebody like a Dead Norris, I just happen to catch the right moment to do it. And I was talking to him then. Sometimes the delay causes you to lose that contractor to do it, because at that time he was really busy, but he said, well, I'll make it happen for you. And so that's my only objection to something like that.
I don't want to slow down the process, but I don't think anybody sent me an email that they haven't gotten a response within 24 hours. And I don't have a problem with Norris Church, for example, you saying, I think we're going to go ahead and do this, and here's the amount of money. You can go ahead and get started in 2 or 3 days or whatever, or how. I don't want to slow you down, but I don't like surprises, and so I need to know.
Yeah.
I think you just need to send out an email saying, I directed Norris Church to work on the Meadow Canyon Road, and this is how much I think it's going to cost. If anybody has a problem with it, let me know and send the email.
My problem is I didn't know how much it was going to cost because of all the things I had to do. Some of those roads, like the roads I taken care of, the Johnny Brown going out to Podunk, and the other going up there off of near Joe Bose's tie, and then it going over the Podunk hadn't been graded in years, and I had no idea how long it was going to take. But when we had our meeting, if you'll remember, I'd made a statement that I had Norris to coming out to do some things, and I had approval to go ahead on it. At least that's what I thought.
You did, absolutely, and I don't have any problems with what you've done, John. I don't have the first problem. You're not the problem. But
I think John probably gets more cheers than anybody as far as when the roads get fixed. So
and I want to continue that. All I'm asking is if you can send us information saying I asked Norris Church or I asked so and so to work on this road and they're going to start on this date and this is about what I'm anticipating. Give us the best information you've got just so that it's not a surprise. Yep.
Okay, I almost did that because I told him at the meeting he was already out there that day. Okay.
Okay. Just keep us up to date. All right, anything else for Kurt before we move on? We need to get moving on.
I got one more thing for Kathy out of the Podunk. I got a call last night, and I went out there. There's a leak on the road by... It's Bob Allen's. It's in front of Bob Allen's lot, but it's on the Podunk Road. And I put my shovel in it, and it was like sticking my shovel in soup. Now, on the other side of the road from this leak, there is a little roof construction thing that's got a pipe running through it and a valve. And it's in line with that. So I don't know if it has anything to do with that or who's responsible for it, but I'm just letting you know that's potentially, I trenched off to the side of the road to give it an avenue to leak out, but it's currently perking.
Well, we've had some problems. When we had that road put in, I asked that they make sure they do it on the east side, and Cindy didn't want it done there so because she wanted it on the other side. In the meantime, we put a $500 valve there, and we've got a leak there. Now, I don't know the ones in front of Malay's with the boxes that you're talking about. We've had problems there before, but Randy has spent, I was told, $4,000 that he's put in his own money, and he's not getting compensation for repairs. And now that we've got this issue with that, I don't know if there was a compaction done or what, but last time I was up there was 3 weeks ago, and it was leaking. So I turned the valve off up by my place because it was leaking on the north side of 19. So that was, if I had just shut that valve off at lot 19, it was still flowing. So I went up to lot 22, 23, shut that valve off, and I haven't been up there. So that means somebody's been up there and turned it on. I know that Randy was going to try to work on it, but you know, that valve cost $500 to put it in, and I wish we would have stayed with the agenda that we talked about on the email to keep that on the other side so it wasn't going on the outside turn in putting that valve or that road in, because I don't know if it's been hit or if there's compaction
issue. Well, this is on the main road in Podunk.
Yes, right. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's running the line. I don't know if it's water following that water line, but we have had problems right there in front of Malay's, which is lot 10.
Yeah.
In between 10 and 16, which is Bob Olson's.
Right. Well, somebody needs to address it because it's an ongoing leak right now, and I'm afraid somebody's car is going to fall through it if it's left to go.
So we've got to find out. I don't know if Randy did any work on it. He said he was working on it, but I don't know what was done. But, it's been an issue, and I hope that it was at lot 19 where it hit that valve and it's just fallen the water line.
What's Bob Allen's lot number?
He's 16.
Okay, so it's in front of lot 16.
Yeah, that's in front of Malay's where that box is, and we've had problems before.
Okay, so it's a problem now. Just whoever is in charge of that needs to get out there and take a look.
That's a water leak there?
Yeah.
That's not our line.
No, it's not a deal.
No, it's not.
A private water system.
That's the reason why I was so particular of making sure that we did it on the other side of that valve, because that could be, we fixed that last year, and we also put in that $500 valve, mainline valve, and... I don't know if it's running there, but it was running pretty good, and they say that that water follows the water line. I don't know if that's the case or not. I've got to get a hold of Randy and ask him.
Okay. All right. So I informed you.
I wasn't aware of it over there on lot 16. I was in front of 19. Yeah, so we were aware of it. And I did turn the valve off so it didn't cause any more road damage or leakage. But yeah.
Yeah. It just surfaced yesterday. So it wasn't there yesterday morning. And last night, Roger Olson called me and asked me to come out and look at it. He tried to get a hold of you and somebody else. I don't know, Bob Allen, I think. But I went out and took a look at it, and so that's what's there.
Okay. If there isn't any other questions, Kathy, let's turn some time over to you to talk about fence discussion on lot number one.
Okay. I've spent a lot of time on the phone with Whit, about a month and a half, and he is over the BLM. We do have people that are actually out in the field, which is Alan and Spencer. I can't remember his first name. But anyway, they are ones that we're going to be working with. We've been trying to find out an agreement, and I called you, Barry, and I've called Mariah to see if we have any kind of agreement with the BLM for the fencing. Because we do have a real problem out there. BLM said that they would help us, but as far as doing labor, they haven't really committed to do that. Mariah, can you put that on the share? You're mute. Can you unmute yourself? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, you're good. Okay. This is the map that I got. Can we get the other map? That's a lot easier to read.
Yeah, let me.
Okay. Yes, that's the one.
I can bring it in if you need me to.
Can I use my cursor? Can you see that with my cursor, everyone? No?
No.
Oh. Okay, this one's going to be a little difficult. Okay, right there, Mariah.
Is that pink line?
That line right there. That is 60 acres, well, not the pink line, just go to where the purple is, right there. That is Jonesy's property, their family. This is not all Deer Springs Ranch because you've got 20 acres or 60 acres up there on top, and then, Mariah, move your cursor down on the west side, the 20 acres. There's two 20 acres, which is not part of Deer Springs Ranch. So we walk the fence line. A friend of mine who used to be over the cattle inspection and all of that, the branding, he came out and walked it with me and said, yeah, we've got a problem. Let's get a hold of Whit. And so that I've had a lot of help from him, and he's offered to help where he can. But lot one, if you take the, Mariah, take that cursor to the west side and go straight across to the east side where, that's lot one. It's kind of hard. Where there's a diagonal that goes to that east property line.
Oh, down here?
Up on top. We're going to hit there's two sections that are bad right there. That is lot one, not the other two, okay? So lot one is right there, and we do not have a fence line between those two where it's open. There's no fence line there. There is a fence line on the north of the property line where the pink is. We walk down, take your cursor, and go west, following the X's.
Which way is the west? Right or left?
Left.
Left, sorry. Right there. Okay, that's the end, and there's a cattle guard right there. If you follow that down, and that's what the problem has been for years, that we have not been able to get this thing resolved. And everybody says, oh, it's a fence out state. No, there's a problem here because that's all BLM where we're having our issues. And so this is, from what he told me 2 days ago, this property line is the Deer Springs Ranch and the Swallow Park allotments. Okay? So that means, and a lot of it's done until you get to a wash, and then you go to where the, you can barely see the X's going up. That goes up to the forest. Everything down below there, that needs to be repaired. Okay, that all needs to be repaired. Then you take the one down where it says Deer Springs Point, Mariah, right where that pink one, that is the Brinkerhoff's fence, right there. That is going into, you can see a light line, that's going into lot 12 where the cattle guard is. Now, the Brinkerhoff's have left that gate open. That has been a problem. We've got a small gate, so BLM has said, we will go ahead and provide you and put it in a gate. So they're going to put a gate just on the east side, south side of the cattle guard, and they're going to install that for us. But we still are going to end up with the issue if they open the gate. We're still going to have them come through. So we're going to put a lock on it, and hopefully we're going to have to give them a key.
And it just stopped working, but they're still broken.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay. So anyway, that fence going down from that pink line going down at the bottom, that is all bad fencing. All. I don't think it's been touched for 40, 50 years. There is a bunch that's down there. And he said that he thought that was the Brinkerhoff's responsibility. But when I talked to him, he said that might be a possibility that we are responsible, which I don't understand because that's BLM. But if that part is the allotment, he says whoever name is on the allotment, whether it's Deer Association or the Hunt Cattle, they're responsible for those two pieces of fencing, the upper one and the lower one. Everybody can put their gate up, fencing up all around their property, but that's still going to be a problem with the allotment that's not part of Johnny Brown that they're going to be coming through. So we've got to fence that out, and that is a fence out state, which means that allotment needs to be taken care of. Now, we've been trying to get the agreement from BLM, and my understanding is they found that, and it's in Kanab. I've been trying to get a hold of Alan for 2 days to get that, and that way we can find out. And if there's no agreement between the rancher, whether it's the Swallow Park allotment, which includes all three of those ranchers, and Deer Springs Ranch Association, or if that's the Hunts, that we make some kind of agreement to have these fences taken care of. Witt and Spencer said that they would help us by getting us some material and some fencing, but this is a problem that's going to have to be resolved if we're not going to have them back on Deer Springs, Johnny Brown area. It did a lot of damage this last summer, and the cattle that was on there was ridiculous. So if we can get that taken care of, Barry, you know Jeff Johnson.
Yep.
He used to be the over the inspections and stuff, and he said he would be happy. This is what he used to do, is go in and do negotiations to have the cooperation of mending those fences and responsibilities of who those fences are. I just need to find out if you guys are willing to go that route. At this time, Brinkerhoff's with Beavers and Hamblin's, I'll say that it's our problem.
I think it's definitely worth having a meeting and getting together and having a discussion as to who and what, and then the next step is if it's our responsibility, then we need to figure out what the cost will be, and you know, with the BLM contributing the wire and posts, what the installation cost would be, and trying to figure it out and get it taken care of, if it's our responsibility. And we won't know that until we have a meeting and discuss it with everybody. So I would encourage you to go ahead and try to get something set up for us to meet and discuss it. We don't necessarily need to include the whole board. I think you and I can meet with the other ranchers and figure out what we can do and who's going to do what. We need a cooperative agreement, because this is an issue that's going to continue to come
Well, Whit said that the problem here has been this for years, and the reason is because we are the owner of Deer Springs Ranch allotment. And then we do a lease out there, and I've read through the agreement with the Hunts, and they said that they were responsible for the fencings, and everything was up to the point, and they were supposed to be taking care of it from there. These are definitely thin fences that some of them are still up. That one still has posts, but the wire, everything is laying down. And well, BLM has gone through and walked this property line on the south end, that wire. And he says, we definitely have a problem there.
Well, once we determine whose responsibility it is out among the ranchers, then we would definitely need to have a meeting with Hunt Cattle Company to determine whether we split it, whether we join together. Their argument is we are required to maintain the fences in the same condition they were when we got here, and those fences probably have been a problem since way before when the Hunts got here, so they kind of have a point there. And so we just need to figure it out. Once we determine whose responsibility it is, then between us and Hunts, we need to figure out how we're going to address it and get it resolved. And we're going to have to get some numbers so that we can work it into next year's budget to be able to go out and do those repairs. So I'm on board with you.
Well, we're hoping to get it done sooner than later, because in the spring the cows will be back out there and we're going to end up with the same problem. So I'll work on it the best I can.
Okay. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, see what you can do to get something set up to meet together, and let's go over some maps and figure out what we can to, I mean, the problem with, even if it's the other rancher's responsibility, is how fast are they actually going to do something. So, as you know, they don't like to actually do anything since it's not really, doesn't seem to be hurting them.
Well, they said that in the majority of the situations, the allotment split, which is Shallow Park and Deer Springs Point allotment, that they usually would share the expense of maintaining and upkeep of the fences. And that's been the problem, is everybody says, oh, it's fenced out state. Well, you still have the allotment issues where they're fencing on our property, and the Hunt's not so much anymore because they've done everything they can to keep it down there. But the agreement is still the agreement. If he's responsible for the fence, that we're going to have to work something out.
If you wouldn't mind, keep working on that. See what you can get set up. I agree with where you're going, and I think. Questions for Kathy on fencing? I think you can take down the map, Mariah.
Thanks, Mariah.
Yeah.
All right. If there's no more comments, we're moving to the next section, which is, for me, a discussion of annual dues, and this will be very short, much shorter than I thought. It seemed to me in the annual meeting that most members were strongly in favor of having a vote before we move forward with raising the assessments. It sounded like most board members were also in favor of taking a poll or getting a vote from members. Although the decision is a board decision, it seemed like the vast consensus was that everybody needed to be informed and submit a vote before we as a board made that decision. With that being said, my question is, How fast can we get a vote or a request to vote out to the members and get that back so we can make a determination? Because if we're going to raise the assessments, which I'm in favor of, obviously, then we want to do that in time for our 2021 budget and our 2021 dues assessment and everything else, which leaves us basically at this point 2 months to get a vote in, make a decision, and have it on the books.
I think Mariah's kind of almost set up for that already.
Well, Mariah has sent out in the past an email poll for people to respond, and several members and one previous board member criticized the wording of the vote, which I thought was as bland and as straightforward and as black and white as possible. Are you in favor of raising the assessments, or are you not in favor of raising the assessments? I don't see how we twisted anybody's arms by manipulating the language, but that appeared to be an issue. So, Mariah, are you in a position where you could send out, where we could prepare an actual ballot and send it to the board members to approve the language and then get it sent out to the membership?
Sure.
And would we do, would, I'm asking the board as a whole, do we need to do that with a written paper ballot mailing, which is an expense? Sounds like that's what everybody's in favor of, but I'm just asking.
Well, what's the percentage of responses that you get from emails versus mail?
The responses that we got, we'd have to break it down by lot numbers. We only broke it down by owners, but we had about one third of the total number of owners respond to the email request. And out of those, then about two thirds of the votes were in favor of raising the assessments, either the smaller amount or the larger amount. One third was opposed to raising the assessments at all. But it was counted. For example, my dad has 50 lots. And his was counted as one. Dr. Wirt has 10 lots. His was counted as one. So it wasn't accurate in assessing a true vote, which would be one vote per lot. In response to your percentage, it's not really accurate.
As a comparison, we received 174 ballots.
So, do you remember off the top of your head, Mariah, how many email responses we got to the survey?
I can actually look right now if you give me just a second. But like you said, we have to calculate out for those who have duplicate lots.
I think we go ahead and prepare a paper ballot. We submit it to the board to approve the language because I don't want to twist anybody's arm. I want to be clear as to what we're asking them to approve or disprove. And I will say this. I don't think that there's any way to say we want to raise the assessment and here's the five things that we guarantee we're going to spend money on and here's things that we won't spend money on. That's just not the way it works. I think we can direct and say we agree to, you know, a specific portion of the increase to go to particular areas, but that's our decision now, and the board next year or the board the year after that may feel completely differently. And so anyway, I think we need to prepare a paper ballot that just says, are you in favor of it or against it, and send it out to the members to vote, and then we take it up in our next or the meeting after board meeting after that and make a decision and move on.
Well, as a member, I would at least want to know why, other than because I think we should. There should be some justification for it. I have yet to hear any justification for it.
You were part of the discussion in the annual meeting, and as part of the discussion that followed the poll. So, I mean, the reason is we need more money. That's all there is to it. And despite what Brad says that we have plenty of money, that's not true.
Barry, I think we need to try to make it as simple form as possible. I think when we put in there, let's raise it up to $500, some members thought maybe $530 or whatever it was. I think that just added a cloud to it. And I do think that I agree with Jeff that we need to say what it's going to. I know that you think that we probably can't control that, but I think a discussion of why it's going up is, okay, we still have roads or whatever, and the cabins aren't done. I really feel like that needs to be designated. If we're going to use that for an excuse, we need to use it for that reason.
Well, and I'm one vote of seven, so obviously that's why we're having this discussion to decide how we want to proceed. Mike, you have
a comment?
Yeah. Hold on, let Mike in.
I just wanted to share that I didn't even respond before the annual meeting because I knew it was going to be discussed at the annual meeting, and I felt like I didn't have enough information to make an informed decision And I was enlightened. I mean, I was very surprised when we had that conversation at the annual meeting when, you know, Larry was talking about, you know, all the volunteer work that he does, and same thing for you and same thing for many other people. And I think, you know, that probably changed the minds of a lot of people who were at that meeting, just understanding why it is necessary. And so, you know, I think we should definitely just say it's intended for cabins or it's intended for roads without having to be obligated to that. But I think that, you know, the owners will be willing to do it if they have a better understanding of why we need it and what it's going to be used for.
Well, I think that would be great. I think it might be helpful to have a committee of three or four people work together on wording the ballot so that we address what Kathy's mentioned, what Jeff's mentioned, and what you're mentioning, what you're discussing now. Honestly, I would prefer not to be on that committee just because I have my hands full right now. But are any of you willing to work with Mariah on reviewing drafts of the ballot before it goes out?
I will.
Sure.
Okay, Mariah, we've got Mike and we've got Kathy. And Kurt, can you guys take the responsibility to try to have something put together for review between now and our next meeting? The idea would be to have your discussion and have, like we're going to discuss a rule change today, the idea would be to have a draft that you've circulated and gotten comments and then gone back so that in our next meeting we can actually approve the ballot so that it can go out and we can have the results by the following meeting if possible. Okay, any other comments? Jeff, do you want to participate in that committee?
Sure.
Okay. Jeff Collins will also, you guys, by email or however you want to do it, work through that process. All right, unless there's an objection, let's move on to rules and regulations. Mariah, I'm just going to let you take that.
Okay. Oh, I'm actually unmuted this time. Hallelujah. Okay. let me just pull up really quick. Give me just 1 second to pull it up here. Basically, as we talked about in our meeting, when this was brought up, why are we writing this? We just have a simple confusion between the bylaws and the rules and regulations and what we're actually doing for our water hauling members as far as the waiver that they sign. I'm going to share this here. And the intent was to bring all those together and have them all make sense to each other and have them cohesive. Right now, one says one thing, another says another. It seemed like the most appropriate place to make that change was in the rules and regulations. And so that's why we've drafted the red line. And board, I sent a copy of that red line out to you so that you could review it prior to the meeting and see what the intent was. There has been no changes to the basic dialogue of the rules and regulations as far as procedures other than just some clarifying things such as, let me go back up here, you can see in this section, okay, so a rename on section 18.01. There was a rename, a separation. We have two kind of water situations. One is a member who would haul water from the water hauling station, and the second situation is those that are currently hooked up to the lower water system, which is a separate process in and of itself. So the first thing that needed to happen was to make a division between those two types of situations. So as you can see, that division came with 18.01, water hauling from Lower Ranch Water System state-approved fill station. And then the bullet points underneath that were just designated for that specific thing. So you can see where I've made some changes here. 18.01.01, members only, water use for hauling is only available to members of Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association in good standing. A combination lock will be provided on the system and the code provided to authorize members once approved. And so you can see as you went through, I'm sure you reviewed all of these things. The basic idea was to get all three of those situations to speak the same language, which I feel like we can. Go ahead.
One of the reasons why we made the changes before in the rules, there was no water hauling station formally there, so we installed the J station. So we had to change the language a little bit to acknowledge that, and then the rules previously did not address at all those few members that are actually connected to the system. So we were just updating the rules to reflect what's really going on anyway.
Correct. And then on that, this dialogue that you see all in red here, that you see all in red when we added the second section, 18.02, that you can see here on the screen, all of this is taken directly from the waiver and agreement that our members sign who are connected to the Lower Ranch water system. That verbiage has already been approved, and we've been using that for the past 3 years. So this isn't anything new. It's just been taken and dropped right into this section with a few clarifying points, such as, you know, this address information here, and when those dues are and how much they pay per month. So that is what that section indicates. Again, already coming from something approved. And finally, 18.03 was added and clarified with water systems, and simply just refers anyone who's interested in connecting to a water system to refer to the bylaws where that language already exists and doesn't need to be repeated here.
Thank you, Mariah.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions on updating the rules to reflect what's happening on the ground and the updates to the water system?
Yeah, Barry, I've got a question. You drafted up a water clarification addendum with my contracts that I write up with real estate. Will that affect that, or do we need to change any of that we've got on that addendum? Because I put that with the contract.
You put what with the contract? Sorry,
You drafted up a water clarification addendum that I asked you for it. You drafted it up and signed it. And that's what I have all my clients sign, so they know exactly the clarification on the water, because they all have questions. Is this going to change that addendum? Do we need to readdress that?
It shouldn't, but after the meeting, if you wouldn't mind, give me a chance to look it up or email me what I sent to you, because I don't remember off the top of my head. I don't think it will change that, but,
okay. But
send it to me and I can verify that.
Okay, sweet. I'll do that.
Any questions? Any other questions on updating the rules? Go ahead, Mike.
I don't have a question on updating the rules. I just have a question on how is the usage tracked for people that are hauling water?
Right now, we're really not tracking the amount of usage, other than Kurt sees how often they come and get water. But water hauling, as far as volume and that kind of stuff, has not been an issue at all in the past. Is that correct, Kurt?
Yeah, it's... It's pretty hard to go through 10 or 12,000 gallons of water in a month. And Linden Vice Lane is probably our heaviest hauler, because he's watering cows and everything on that. And we're actually looking into getting him hooked up to the system, but he doesn't haul half that.
Okay.
So it's really never been an issue. Somebody would have to be hauling all day, every day to...
Just so you know, Kurt, can't water cattle, and you can't water grass and bushes and that kind of stuff out of the water hauling. But I'm not going to be a stickler on that. One other thing that everybody needs to be aware of is, in the past, on an occasional case-by-case basis, we have allowed other neighbors to haul water when they really needed it, whether it was for cattle or otherwise, just because we're the only water source for a while. And I think we still need to try to be good neighbors when we have to, but we certainly don't want to encourage it, and we don't want to sell rights to neighbors at this point to use water in any way. So,
well, I can tell you the work that I did down with Norris Brown went a long way with the BLM.
So. Good, and I think you're doing a fantastic job, and we always want to be good neighbors. Right up until we slaughter their cattle that have been in our corral that we they don't get, and we have a roast.
We were doing ear tags yesterday, and I asked Brad, I said, you want to change the colors on those? And he goes, yeah, the barbecue.
There you go. All right, I'll call. Go ahead.
Just a quick clarifying question. Even though we're being a good neighbor, neighbors are still required to pay a fee, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And would that be, if you'll remind me, I remember there was discussion, and then it's kind of gone by the wayside, and I don't know if it's just not been a need. But
the fee we left in the discretion of the property manager because we didn't know how much or how often this was an issue. So we talked about, okay, well, should it be this or that or the other thing? And we just decided it'd be too hard to set an amount not knowing anything beforehand. So that's kind of up to Kurt to decide how good of a neighbor we are, but we need to cover our costs for pumping and maintenance and that kind of stuff. So
absolutely.
And Kurt, you're aware that currently we charge $50 annually, I'm sure, right? Sorry, Kurt, are you aware that we charge $50 annually?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. I haven't had anybody but members haul water, and I've had a few hand me their money, and I sent that to you with an AP voucher. And nobody outside has needed water. I was worried the Robinsons might need some help, but they got through, so.
Okay, does anybody want to make a motion to approve the red line or the change to the meeting, change to the rules and regulations as how it's been proposed? Kirk, make the motion. I'll second it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So, Mariah, if you wouldn't mind, clean up the red line and get that to Vance with an adoption date of today to be posted on the website as well as part of the official record.
Does that adoption date just need to go in that section or as the rules and regs as a whole?
No. So the rules and regulations should say they were adopted on a particular date, and then there should be a subnote on this rule that says modified on whatever today's date is.
Okay, thank you.
All right, moving quickly, we just need to go through areas of responsibility, and that will be updated in our executive meeting here in a minute as to who's doing what. But does anybody have anything else to report that they haven't reported so far? I don't. I think legal and water has been covered to the extent it needs to. Kurt, do you have anything else to add to your presentation today?
No.
Kathy, anything else?
No.
Joe, you got anything today?
Nope, I'm good.
You look good. John Harris, you got anything else to throw at us today?
No, I'll let you all fly today.
That's good. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Mike, anything to throw at us?
Nope. Just happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. We really are, and you're going to find out that this board, we do a lot of work, and we volunteer a lot, and I don't know if you know what you bought off on when you got on, but I'm sure you're up to the task.
Well, I've done a lot of volunteering, and I look forward to doing a lot more.
Hey, Barry, I lied. I got one thing.
Okay, John.
Thank you guys for the letter you sent me. And my wife.
So, board, that was a letter that I sent out following the annual meeting. I put together thank you letters to everyone who participated in some way or another, and I send it out courtesy of the board. So, sorry, Barry, there's a surprise. I didn't approve that with you. I just did it.
I assumed that was the case because I got a nice letter, and I appreciate it. It's nice to feel wanted. Sometimes we get in these meetings and get beat up a little bit and start scratching our heads saying, why in the world did I do this? But I'm glad you're all here. And with that, let's talk about a date for our – oh, by the way, I think from here through the winter, unless something changes, I would prefer to just have these Zoom meetings rather than in-person meetings. I think we can accomplish just as much with a lot less travel, especially with weather and COVID and – I can eat while I'm watching and everything else. So, so from here moving forward until spring or until further notice, let's just plan on Zoom meetings. Can somebody tell me what the second Saturday of November is?
November 14th.
Let me ask one other question. Since we're doing these meetings by Zoom for the time being, is Saturday okay, or would it be any easier for anybody to do it on a Friday evening or a Thursday evening? Because, quite honestly, I just soon keep my Saturday open if I can, because I have a lot of other things to do, and I wouldn't have a problem with doing the Zoom meeting starting at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening on a Thursday and getting it over with.
I would love to do that. That's great.
I'm okay with that.
I'm good with that. But I have one complaint.
Yeah.
When we have meetings at your place, we get well fed.
as you know, John, I bit off another 2 years, so that during the summer, then and spring and summer, as we move forward, I promise I'll feed you plenty again.
All right. Then you got a deal.
Okay, what's that second Thursday? In Thursday would be preferable for me, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Thursday is fine with me. However, I coach theater here at the high school, and so I'm not available until, likely it wouldn't be until 6 o'clock, unfortunately.
Is it any different for you on Fridays?
Fridays, yes, because I'm done earlier on Fridays.
Would a 4 o'clock on Friday, on the second Friday of November, work for everybody?
That'd be the Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Perfect. So let's plan on Friday the 13th of November at 4 o'clock. And realistically, unless something blows up, and I encourage everybody to communicate by email as things come up, but there's no reason why we can't conclude these meetings in 2 hours. Okay?
All right.
So if you wouldn't mind, Mariah, I don't know if anybody else is on, but let's cut everybody off except for the board members and excuse all the other participants, and let's have our executive session.
Okay, great. Give me just 1 minute.